Looking for the latest on the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies?
Yeah,
we've got you covered. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the Sports Zone.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Fully anticipate near the end of the week, we will have an announcement in which the Coyotes are on their way from Arizona to Salt Lake City. It's a foregone conclusion at this point. Now it's just working through dotting the I's and crossing the T's. And one of those happened yesterday. Joining us now, Barry Bloom from Sportico, one of the best when it comes to analyzing the business of sports. Huge fan of Sportico and what they do there. Barry, thanks for hanging out with us, man. We appreciate it.
Hey, Barry.
Hey guys. Thanks for the nice introduction.
Yeah. So let's talk about the story you posted yesterday. The NHL's executive committee approving the move of Arizona to Salt Lake City. So kind of walk us through that process. How many people were involved in that, and what's the next step to bring in this franchise to Salt Lake?
Well, I mean, I've been covering, you know, the NHL for like 40 years, and the process for transfers of franchises and sales and moves has always been the same. I mean, it goes through the executive committee, which is 10 owners. It's chaired by Jeremy Jacobs of the Bruins. They advise the commissioner, and they advise the rest of the owners. And so they would have to make an approval of this move before it went on to the Board of Governors as a whole. And that's where we are. You know, they approved it. At some point, it's going to go on to the Board of Governors, and they're probably going to approve it, you know, via fax, email, whatever. There's no meeting scheduled. So it's going to be done, you know, by electronically in a, you know, North American vote.
Has there ever been a hang-up in the Board of Governors process?
You know, there's always hang-ups, but I think in this case, this has become such an issue here, particularly with the amount of money, you know, in a revenue-sharing league that the Coyotes are losing playing in Mullet Arena with, you know, basically they're selling 4,600 tickets at top price every game. The other 400 or 500 or 600 are going to college students for like $25 each, and then they put them on the open market and make money on them, which is something they haven't been able to solve. So the revenue situation for the Coyotes, you know, they had, you know, a pretty much average ticket price of about $165, which is about a league average price there, which is much higher than what they used to charge up in Glendale. But they have no marketing, no advertising, no, their name really isn't even in the arena. You know, they don't have a team store. They don't, you know, they don't have a local TV contract, you know, of any strength to make them upfront money. I mean, they're losing between $40 and $70 million every year playing in this building, and it's had an impact on the players, and it's had an impact on the rest of the league. So I think it's something that they just want to get out of at this point and move on.
And it's not a bad situation to unload a team for essentially $1.2 billion and then have the opportunity to pick up an expansion team here in a few years. But according to multiple reports, the sell price is 1.2. The owner of the Coyotes gets $1 billion, and then $200 million gets dispersed as a relocation fee. Apparently, I mean, I got to imagine that doesn't suck for a lot of NHL owners too, that are probably pretty happy about getting a windfall of some cash.
Yeah, I think the one downside for, you know, Coyotes ownership and management is, and it's a major one, is that among the multiple things they did wrong here over the last few years, one of them was not their hockey operations. You know, under Bill Armstrong and his group, they've done a great job scouting. They've done a great job, you know, choosing draft picks. You know, that was kind of the goal, to basically rebuild 2 or 3 years ago with draft picks. Some of those players have come to the big club, and they've started to produce. I mean, they were a team this year that had a chance to make the playoffs early on and then went into a 14-game losing streak. I'm seeing now that they're attributing to that to some of the rumors about the club leaving, although I can tell you I didn't hear any rumors about the club leaving until about a couple of weeks ago. So I don't know whether that contributed it or not, but they had a 14-game period where they had 1 point, and that killed their playoff run. But now, basically, they've straightened out, and they've been very fun to watch and great in this building. And, you know, I wonder, you know, what it's going to be like with them playing in the Delta Center, which I understand is not particularly friendly for hockey.
Well, that's one area that I wanted to go into with you a little bit here, Barry. Can you help us understand some of the NHL requirements for its venue? I know you were just talking about what the Coyotes were resulted to, but I want to know, what responsibilities do you carry as an NHL owner with the venue that you play in?
Well, I mean, what they did do, you know, with the mullet was, you know, when their relationship became completely estranged up in Glendale, and they looked around the area for alternative places to play, is that the NHL did come in, and the locker rooms had to be, they built locker rooms on it external to the arena that would be at least NHL friendly. They weren't particularly great, but, you know, they didn't have locker room facilities that they could use. They had to put in broadcast facilities. They obviously, the ice, I mean, the ice was great ice, maybe the best ice that I've ever seen. The games were fast. You know, they built a quick team. You know, that was one of the big things. But with the Tempe vote last year, which went down by like 3,500 votes on three different, you know, referendums, you know, this was all built for, okay, we'll satisfy the NHL on the minimum because we're only going to be playing here 2 or 3 years. And then when the Tempe vote went down and they had to scurry around trying to find another place to build, you know, that took over a year. They are where they are now, and essentially you're talking about another 3 years in this building. So I think they'll look at Delta, and, you know, there's going to be certain things, and you can tell me, that Delta is one of the few arenas in the country I've never been in, even for an NBA game. But my understanding is that when you try to put ice in there, you're going to be kind of in the situation they were at, you know, what is now Footprint Arena when they moved here in 96, is that you have ice that's skewed to one side, and it creates a whole bunch of seats you can't even sell. You tell me if that's true or not.
I don't know about the ice situation and the quality of the ice. Hans and I are football guys, so we're learning this sport as we go along. So we can't. They do have NHL exhibition games. They've had you know, games here every year, kind of preseason games. For the last, I don't know, Hans, 6, 7, 8 years.
Last 7 years. And I've been to those games. And where I've sat, there's been multiple times where I don't have the angle of the view of one of the goals, which is a problem. But
right.
I haven't
okay.
heard the ice issue. Is that something that's kind of commonly known out there?
No, the ice issue that I'm talking about is not for the ice itself. It's just the view of seats in buildings.
Okay,
where you know, basically,
yeah,
you know, in Footprint Center, where they played the first 7 years here, you couldn't sell like 4,000 or 5,000 seats because they were all blocked.
Yep. And
it sounds like you've got a similar situation in Delta, which is going to be ultimately remedied if and when they build a new arena.
Well, you know, there's two different options here, and the legislative session, this last legislative session, essentially earmarked, you know, $900 million to renovate downtown, kind of provide a sports district and funds available for either a new building or a complete gut job and a remodel of the current Delta Center. Because as of right now, capacity at the Delta Center for basketball games is about 18,000. it's going to get cut all the way down to about 12,500, 13,000 for the NHL. And but, you know, Ryan Smith does have the backing of the state legislature. He does have the sales tax increase. So he's got money that's going to be available to him. And I know that this is something that they're going to address very quickly, whether it's going to be a new building. From the people I've talked to, I believe that it will be a complete remodel of the Delta Center, and they'll have a beautiful, essentially new building in the next 2 years. So this is, you talk about the situation in Phoenix. There was the hope that they'd get their new building and a hope that they'd get the land. Here, they've got a plan, they've got it in place, and they've got a timeline in which they will have this resolved. But you're right, there's going to be some issues over the next couple of years.
Okay, so I mean, just opposing back to Phoenix, they have none of that in terms of state money or local money, to build a new arena here. And basically, the baseball team, the Diamondbacks, are going through the same thing right now, kind of searching around Maricopa County with their hands out, looking for money to help them either improve Chase Field or replace Chase Field, and they're having a hard time doing it. And we have in this area, I mean, if they build somehow, Morello builds the, if Morello builds the new building in North Phoenix, which I have my doubts that's ever going to happen, we already have two arenas on Arizona State campus. We have the arena downtown. We have arena in Glendale. We have a baseball stadium, a football stadium, soccer stadium. We have multiple spring training sites. There's something like 11 of them. And all of that, except for maybe one spring training site, was done on public money of some kind or another. And now this thing has come down to there is no public money anymore for these facilities. There's plenty of them here. And they're not going to build a new arena on public money. So there's no state money. There's no city money. In fact, you'd even have a building here that they want to build for the Coyotes or the future Coyotes that would be in competition in Phoenix with Footprint Center, which is basically owned by the city in part and the Suns in part, and would be in conflict with what Matt Ishbia, who owns the Suns, wants to do within his own city. So, I mean, there are just multiple layers of things to get through here. And I think what the NHL finally did was, they've been hanging on for dear life here for 27 seasons. They love this market. It was something, Bettman particularly wanted to do. But I think when the Tempe vote went down, and again, let me tell you, it was a good deal. It was as good a deal for Tempe and a team that I've ever seen. And, when Tempe voted it down by, again, 3,500 votes. So 3,500 votes cost the Coyotes for all of Maricopa County, which is like 4.4 million people. That's wow. The stupidity of this whole thing. And so when that went down, it was like the death knell for the franchise. They were going to have to do something quickly and find something that was viable to get done quickly, or they were going to lose the team. And for them, the fat franchise, Morello bought it for like $425 million, and a lot of that was debt. And then, it's valued at, well, we valued it at Sportico at about $675 million, and the NHL is going to give them $1 billion just to get them out of there. So that'll pay off some of the money that they sunk into this thing. And, there are, multiple reports of, and actually instances where Morello hasn't paid bills. He doesn't have a great reputation here in the county. So I really do feel that I was here at the first game. I covered the first game on October 10th, 1996, when they moved from Winnipeg, and they, they beat the San Jose Sharks 4-1. And I'm going to be there tomorrow night. And I do believe that it's the last time an NHL puck is ever going to be dropped in this valley tomorrow night.
Wow. Wow. So the expansion doesn't seem realistic to you then, Barry?
It doesn't, because the arena situation, and I've written extensively about it. You know, 2 weeks ago, I wrote a story about what they were intending to do. And when, you know, Javier Gutierrez told me about it, and he's the president of the team, and I wrote the story, it was like it didn't pencil out. You know, I'm no expert, business expert. I mean, I've got a degree in English lit and another one in, you know, broadcast journalism, master's in broadcast journalism. And, you know, and I stayed at a Holiday Inn Express last night. I have a 1 year of a law degree. And, you know, it's like you look at it and it just on the surface, it makes no sense. They don't have that kind of money to pour into a facility like that, especially when you're going to get into the opposition politically all over the place. Nobody wants them here. That's the problem. There's like maybe 10,000 Coyote fans who want them here, and they never showed up to the building in Glendale. There were multiple nights in Glendale where there was 8,000 people, 9,000 people in a building that was beautiful. It was great to watch a hockey game in. It was accessible. I mean, people in this county are so, you know, spoiled that they don't want to drive from the east side to the west side in this county because it might take them 45 minutes. When in every other place in the country, you know, you go to L.A., San Francisco, New York, people travel from Connecticut to go to the new arena on Long Island to see the Islanders. They take, you know, 2 hour transportation down to Penn Station to see the Rangers. You know, the people here are just not willing to do this stuff. And they tried to put the building as close as they could to their fan base, which is Scottsdale, Tempe. And then, you know, the Tempe folks voted it down.
So just from a guy who loves the NHL, who covers the sport and knows this team, obviously from a win-loss record, not great, but from all the research and reading up and talking to people, it sounds like the infrastructure of what this team has in terms of young talent, assets that are available, the payroll, there's a lot of flexibility to really build a really good team fairly quickly. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, it's a fun team to watch. It's got great young players. That's the way they've built the team. It's got, you know, a core of decent veterans. And with Ryan owning the team in Salt Lake City, you're going to get free agents who are going to want to play there, where at this point, over the last couple of years, you know, only guys who were good but not great, you're not going to get a great hockey player to come play in this situation because of the temporary nature of what was going on with the team and the facilities. But now, you know, you've got a great foundation. You'll see it's a fun team to watch. If you add a couple of more people, they're going to be a playoff team. You're getting a playoff-ready team. It's not there yet, but I have a lot of confidence that if Ryan holds on to the hockey operations and lets Bill do his thing, Bill and his staff have just done a terrific job under the circumstances that we have here. And so, you know, again, that's another issue with the quote-unquote expansion Coyotes, is that if they do get through all these hurdles and actually build this arena and buy back an expansion team from the NHL in 3 to 5 years, they're going to have to start hockey operations all over again, and they're going to be at square one with, you know, that an expansion draft, which will give them a chance to build the team a lot quicker than the way they were doing it now. Because if you take a look at, and this is kind of a little sidelight, you know, background, the Las Vegas teams and Seattle team were able to build very quickly into competitive teams because with the salary cap in hockey at about $70 million, you didn't have any problems building a team. You had $70 million to start with to get into the expansion draft and make trades and start building your minor league system without any, you know, cap space problems. And so if you have good hockey operations, you can build an expansion team that'll compete very much overnight. And certainly the Knights proved that. I mean, they went to the Stanley Cup Finals the first year, and they won the Stanley Cup last year. And Seattle is a pretty good team too. So that's the only thing I would say for Morello. You have to start all over again, but you're going to get a quicker jump on it if the NHL lets you draft in an expansion draft the way they have with the last two teams. Well, your team, you've got a great team. I think to build on, and that it should be very competitive very quickly.
Well, Barry, we appreciate your time. Thanks for hanging out with us. We look forward to catching up with you again, and should be fascinating next 72 hours to see how quickly this thing comes together.
Thanks, Barry.
Yeah, I would guess it'll come together pretty quickly in the next couple of days.
Yep.
Appreciate you.
There he is, Barry Bloom from Sportico. We tweeted out that story yesterday. Essentially, the executive committee has approved the Coyotes' move to Salt Lake City. Now, it's just on to the complete board of governors. It's all a formality at this point. It's just, you know, I's and T's, and off we go.
Yeah, as he mentioned, the board is definitely going to approve it. I did ask him if there are or has been any hang-ups in this process. He says there's always hang-ups, but this thing is going to get done. The picture that he painted for its existence in Phoenix, not so pretty.
Pretty grim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Essentially saying nobody wanted it here except for 10,000 Coyote fans that decided they weren't going to show up for games. And so this thing has moved on. I do think it's going to be embraced here. But I place a high importance on it needing to be competitive within the first couple of years that it's here.
Yeah.
To get the fan base, to get them hooked on it, and get them coming back. I do think that there's somewhat of a built-in NHL fan base, but to really branch out and pack that place in, you're going to have to win early.
Yeah.
The other thing is, we had Jay Stevens on Friday.
Yeah.
And Jay painted kind of the picture of what he expects on the arena build-out, and he said that, and Lloyd, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but he said that he's expecting the sidewalls to be blown out and to have the extensions built out off the sidewalls.
Yeah.
And when you look at the image that Ryan Smith tweeted out, you can see the telescoping sides off the Delta Center. And I think that's the vision, to expand those end zones so that your vision marks, everybody can see both nets.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. And I think the NHL is going to demand that to a certain extent. You're going to lose, from a Jazz standpoint, you're going to lose a little bit of that intensity of the fans being right on top of the court. Like, that's going to go away, because you can't have that in hockey. It just doesn't work.
The way the net sits down in the ice, your vision. And by the way, so I have attended like five or six of those events when the Kings come in, and they typically have the Kings, and they have an NHL event there at the Delta Center. And I will tell you, Scotty, I've been there, and a couple of times my sight lines were impeded. But that's because I was taking a ticket that was very affordable. Most of the seats, so when they accommodate for the couple years or whatever they do, most of the seats are fantastic.
Yep. Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. We're hanging out here in studio, and always fun to catch up. Jenny's with us from Dev Simplify. And Jenny, it's been so much fun getting to know you and your company and exactly what you're going on here, because there's a lot of opportunities for people to really improve their business. But, you know, everything's going on phones. Let's talk about apps and what you can do there.
Right. Yeah. Apps are a big thing. We do develop mobile apps. It's interesting because they're... It's almost like every business out there wants an app because it helps them track customers. It helps them track. I mean, I don't want to say that like, oh my gosh, the app's tracking me, but it really does. They do. Most apps are built to help provide a better customer experience in relation to that business specifically. But yeah, we develop apps for companies. Like I said, e-commerce. I know we've talked a lot about software, but anything that's on the web, like in the web development arena, we build SaaS products, which are, you know, for listeners, it's service as a software. So like QuickBooks is a SaaS product, you know, just as an example. But yeah, we've had companies come in that that we're working on one right now. I don't think I can talk about it. Probably I can't. Joel gives me the no. It's a really exciting one though. It's one I'm really excited about. So to be in a place where we're actually creating with businesses new ideas that better serve their customers or new platforms that we see coming online that we know like this is going to be awesome. It's just an exciting thing to be a part of.
So if you have an app idea, 701-3660. The number again, 801-701-3660. If you've got that app idea, but you don't know what direction to go or where you start, you've got an opportunity for a free discovery sit down with Dev Simplify to explain your app, explain the working, and get a good view of what that app can do and what to expect from it. If you're a business owner and you're having software issues, and maybe you do have your software department.
Right.
Maybe you've been working in collaboration with a different company, but you can't get over a hump. That's where Dev Simplify comes into play, because we're talking about 13 years of experience, and we're talking about a very broad group of developers and people that can help you identify that problem.
Right. A lot of people think of development, they just think of a developer, but we have software engineers, UX, UI designers, project manager. You get the whole team, front-end developers, back-end developers, the marketing strategist, myself. I sit down in those discovery meetings from a marketing perspective, like messaging, like when at the tail end. So you're not just getting a development team, you're getting a full stack team works through this.
I think that's an impressive part to bring up too, that you're not only going to develop software, but you're going to help them every step of the way in every aspect.
Right, exactly. Yep. And it's a full stack team. So, you know, we make sure we understand what you need and are able to deliver end to end and for who it's for, design it for who it's for.
5 hours of service, yours for free, valued at $700. That's 5 hours. Now, here's the thing. It's not like, hey, if you sign this contract, we'll give you 5 hours free. No, you're that's 5 hours, non-contractual work. And at the end of those 5 hours, if you decide it's not
walk
right,
away,
you're still going to walk away with that 5 hours of development.
Yeah, it depends on how far we get down with that 5 hours. But I promise you, you will walk away happy. And there's no salespeople, there's no contracts. You're literally just sitting down with our team, and we're going to help you flesh this out.
801-701-3660, Dev Simplify. Please call right now. Just get some information.
Right.
And go through those 5 hours. See what they can do for you. 801-701-3660. It's no cost to you. 801-701-3660. Dev Simplify right here on 97.5, the EKSL Sports Zone.
Number one. Miss any part of the show? Every moment of every show is available in podcast form by searching Hans and Scotty on your favorite podcasting platform or online at kslsports.com. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
And Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hey, make sure to join us coming up on Friday. Hans, you and I are getting our clean skin look on.
All right. Getting our spa day on.
Spa Truve in Highland, 5455 West, 11,000 North. Again, in Highland, stop in, say hi. We'll be broadcasting live from noon to 3. Get yourself looking good, folks.
Yes, please. Put this in your planner. Spa Treve, we've got Mother's Day coming up. We're going to get you taken care of. They're going to have some great discounts. Scotty and I, fingers crossed, we'll have some food that we can feed you. And just come out and have some fun. It's a Friday. You got nothing better to do.
You got nothing going on Friday.
How'd you get fired on a Friday?
Quit trying to pretend like you're busy. Come on. Hey, we played part one of the Danny Ainge conversation. Here's part two. Danny Ainge, CEO, Utah Jazz, getting ready for what should be a crazy offseason. Here is that part two of that conversation.
Danny, you know where the team ranks defensively, 30th. It's not great. But how
– I think we were 29th at one time.
Oh, basketball
this
reference just told me 30th. So.
Yeah, 30th now. I think you're right.
Do you think you're rotation, your player personnel should be 30th defensively. And I guess, is there a coaching piece to that that you'd like to see improve or change in some way, you know, a defensive coordinator hire or something like that, that can make a difference?
It has to be better. I mean, that's horrible. I don't think anybody would dispute that. You guys will get to talk to Will in a little while and let him discuss some of that. We all know that defensively we're not good enough. Yeah, no question about it. We need to get better. Personnel and more of an emphasis. I mean, as a coach, it's really hard because we love our coach. And the hard thing is, like, there's so many things that we need to get better at. And you can't just throw every bit of it on there. Like, you got to go in phases, especially with so many of the young guys and without the veteran presence. So there's priorities during the season. Ball movement, spacing, running was more of a priority than the defense. It's, like, hard to emphasize all of it. But, yeah, our personnel wasn't good enough. That's on me.
Danny, when you played, 4 years was the common factor. And young men were more prepared mentally and physically to play. How have you had to adjust now, looking at a multitude of 19-year-olds who become 20 during the season, and as you look at this younger group of draftees that are coming in, how have you changed on your patient level and trying to say, okay, he's NBA ready, he's not, and then formulate a plan? And as you look out into the future on how long your plan will take, if they're not mentally or physically quite ready, because you've seen it all from, you know, your playing days to what Boston was able to do, and now such the youth movement in the NBA, isn't it just a totally different plan that you have to map out?
Yeah, it's more difficult when you're trying to project futures of 18-year-olds. It's just harder. There's no question about it. It's more unpredictable. But I'll tell you a funny story about that. And how the plan, everybody wants, like, this plan, including Ryan. Ryan loves a plan. Like, he's a tech guy. He's got a plan. But I wish basketball were that way. I wish we could just, like, organize it, plan it. We're going to draft this guy in the future. We're going to trade for this guy in the future. But that's not how basketball works. But we draft Kendrick Perkins out of high school. And he weighed, I think, 310 pounds. He'll try to tell you that he had that he got 28 in the 3-minute run and that he had a 30-inch vertical in the draft workouts, but I think it was 22 3-minute run and 22% body fat. And Kendrick was on this plan where we're just going to develop him. So he had to lose 30 pounds. He had to get stronger. And I remember the first day from my office, I looked down and he's, like, taking his shirt off in the weight room. He was so proud of himself and how he looked. And he became a big piece of our championship runs. The next year, we had a draft workout with, you guys are familiar with, Al Jefferson. Al Jefferson comes in for his draft workout and Doc goes, you're not serious about this guy, are you? I go, yeah, like, if he's available, like, he's probably our guy. He goes, you got to be kidding me. So I said, hey, he's on the Kendrick plan. You know, like, with the 19-year-old guys, you got to, like, we got a G League now. We got a whole new strength team. We got so many opportunities for them to grow before they come to have to play with a good Boston team at the time. So anyway, Kendrick, after the first day of training camp, Doc comes into my office and goes, he's starting. Al Jefferson's our starting big man. And so, like, that wasn't the plan. It wasn't my plan when we drafted him. He's got a lot of things to learn, but that was, I mean, Doc said he's better than our veterans, like, immediately. So that does happen too. And so you just don't know. And I think that with Keontae, there was some of that this year. Keontae wasn't our plan for him to be a starter going into training camp. You guys were in training camp. You saw, like, he was good. He was a good player. He earned the respect of the coaches and his teammates, and, like, he earned that job. It wasn't given to him. And I think that that's just, you know, but you don't draft a 19-year-old rarely. There's some that, you know, LeBron at 19 was pretty good. But most of the time they need time to develop. And so we have ways to develop them, and we don't have to be in a rush.
Danny, I just wanted to get your reaction to something that Lowry said recently in speaking with him. He asked about kind of the process that the team has been going through the last couple of years and what could possibly be, like, more just, like, waiting for things to get better. And he said, my job is to get good enough to where they can't lose, and I speed up the process. So I just wanted to get your reaction to that.
I mean, that's a great answer. You know, if you were going to tell me that Lowry was upset, then that would be a great answer, too. Like, good. So let's go do something about it. And but Lowry has been great. Like, his leadership skills are growing. He wants to teach the young guys that they can push themselves even more. I think when you're 19, back to your question, like, a lot of the challenges are 19 at 19 and 20. You don't even really know how much you can do. Like, you don't have any realization of or understanding of what your max is in your work and your preparation. But Lowry's done well with that, and I think his plans are to be around here a lot this summer and spend a lot of time with our young guys and just get them to elevate that work to his level. That would be huge. Him and Colin are fantastic at that. Like, I want every player to work with Colin in their workout because he is a psycho. I mean, his intensity, I see him out there pushing sleds, you know, like up and down the court. No one else is even in the facility. He's out here shooting. It's legendary. You guys all know about the stories of him working at 6:30 in the morning on game days and out here shooting. And he doesn't ever seem tired. And so I think that having those two guys in the organization right now are big with their leadership and their work ethic.
Danny, you've talked a lot about the young players. I want to ask you about Jordan Clarkson and his role moving forward with this franchise. He's stuck around through multiple trade windows when there's been rumors about him. What do you want from a guy like him this summer?
The same thing. You know, we love Gordon's character and leadership. He loves to play basketball. But I think he can be a big help if we improve our team this year, this offseason. Like, Jordan can be, as we've seen here, he's a really good player. He can score off the bench. He knows how to play, and he's been a fantastic player for the Jazz. And we hope that he continues to be.
There you go, Danny Ainge. We weren't able to squeeze in the entire 45 minutes throughout the course of the show, but if you want to hear it, I highly suggest you go to kslsports.com. It's all available for you in podcast form. There are so many. I mean, that is one heck of an onion. There are a lot of layers to that bad boy that you can peel away and really break down. And frankly, you know, I've heard a lot of press conferences. I've been doing this thing for a long time. You as well, Hans. Mm-hmm. You don't see, and I know he's not technically GM, but the guy that is essentially running basketball operations and running this team, you don't see guys that are that transparent and honest. I mean, flat out saying, Keontae George is not a franchise point guard. Like, okay, all right. That doesn't mean we can't do a lot of really good things with him. You know, I mean, just flat out said, we were horrible defensively, and Will Hardy's coming up next. You can ask him about that. Like, there were some really key moments in that thing.
Well, you go and he talked about the BYU head coaching hire. He talked about the Utah Jazz hiring Avery Bradley as the player personnel president?
Yep.
Or player development.
Player development, yeah.
President. He talked about Zach Edey. I thought Ron Boone and he got into a back and forth about Zach Edey's ability to play in this league. And I think it's really clear after hearing what Danny Ainge had to say that he's got Zach Edey on his big board.
Well, I tell you what, Danny Ainge is a crazy competitive guy. Ron Boone may have gotten Zach Edey drafted by the Utah Jazz because Danny Ainge is like, no, he's a good player. I like him. And you know, Booner pushes back on him, and now you can see
it's a new league.
And now Danny Ainge is like, all right, fine, I'll show you Booner. I'm going to draft him. Well,
got at him. He's like, you're telling me Mark Eaton couldn't play in this league? And Booner stuck to his guns and said, it's a new league. And he's like, you don't think it was? It's just the whole thing was fantastic. But the thing I loved was he reiterated multiple times, we need to be fluid. We need to be fluid. We need to be fluid. We need to be able to make those big decisions when they come. He said that they had to think on the fly because they lost the pick that could have gotten them Kevin Durant. So they had to think on the fly. They readjusted their whole direction to get to that championship that they got to based off their inability to draft Kevin Durant. And he said, then that's what we got to do here. If we don't get the pick that we want, then we got to be able to make the move that we want, but we got to be fluid to do that. So many good things there by Danny Ainge.
All right, take a final break. Come back, wrap this bad boy up, get you ready for JJ and Alex next, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
You're locked on to Hans Olsen and Scotty G.
That's right, yeah!
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Standing here beside you, want so much to give you this love in my heart that I'm feeling for you.
Let them see we're crazy. I don't care about that. Put your hand in my hand, baby.
I don't want to hear that. Only one of the three of us did some shady stuff, and that was you. That's not okay. I know. Look, I've been there, Lloyd. I know the mind tricks. I've been there. I know how much fun it can be to play those mind games. And you just played a nasty mind game.
Yeah, you did.
That was not okay.
Thanks a lot, Jim.
Yeah.
Wow.
Job, fool.
Don't do that.
Yeah, you deserve
that
one.
That's dirty.
No, you've earned that one. Earned that one. You did.
Hey, we're going to have to meet.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, I see what you're doing now.
You're going to call the intern and have her bring back your sandwich? Is that what you're about to do next?
Yeah.
Shout out to Alabama. You know, I chatted with her the other day.
Well, threaten to fire somebody just to try to motivate them to?
No. You know, who would ever do something like
you
that?
You did.
Don't.
Get Eric on the line.
Hey, you know what?
Why are you forming a gun with your fingers?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Sometimes.
Don't put the hypothetical gun to my head.
Oh, it's a great show, man.
Lloyd tried to loosen somebody up and, you know, like take the pressure off him by saying they were fired.
Yeah, that's how he decided he wanted to
have
him shake the bugs out.
We're just having some fun here. I was like, get out, you're fired.
By the way, the guy said, so essentially, you remember how he used to lock up his bike because he thought I was going to steal it all the time? Dude used to lock up his bike because he thought I was going to steal it.
He didn't think you were going to steal it.
He did.
Well, the first game Lloyd played was he fired a tech because he had the van towed right in front of this other guy. He was like, nope, you're done. Oh, it's over. You should have never worked in this business in the first place in front of this guy. And then he's like, and you're fired too. And then he's like, no, I'm just kidding. I'm just trying to loosen you up.
Yeah, just trying to loosen you up. Just trying to have some fun. And then said, you'll never work in this business ever again as long as I'm involved.
You know what you did, and you know you deserve this.
No, I don't deserve this.
Yeah, you deserve
one
this.
Bit at
you
all.
Deserve this heat.
All right, wrapping up another edition of the show. JJ and Alex coming up next. Big fans of what's going on at DevSimplify. And Jenny's been hanging out with us in studio today. Really fascinating conversation about how your business can improve because you got roadblocks, you got issues, and you're thinking, you know what? If we could just set up some kind of software to get us through this or some kind of program or something like that, but you don't know where to start, you don't know who to talk to, bam, here's DevSimplify here to come in with a red cape and save the day.
Right. No capes. Have you ever seen The Incredibles? Capes are bad.
Okay.
But I will come in with
turbines.
Hiking boots and leggings all day long.
There you go.
To save the day. Yeah, I mean, it's a fun business to be in. Like I said, we are creators, we're designers. A lot of people think development and they think, oh, development. Trust me, I used to think the same thing. But now that I'm in it, it is a fascinating world, especially with how fast technology is rolling out, and AI rolling out. So yeah, it's a great business, and every company needs development on some level. And, you know, we provide it. We also, you know, like I said, I'm the lead marketing strategist in the same building. We have our marketing, branding. I mean, so when you come sit down with us, you're getting the full enchilada from end to end. If it's a direct to consumer or something where you need a marketing message done, we're in there as well. So
I just know how many people are out there with a hang up in the developmental world,
right?
In the software developmental world. It happens. You come across it and you're like, no, I just need this to function. I need this to work. It'll make my life so much easier. If you're in that mode, whether you have a development department or you don't, this is a complimentary discovery session. It's complimentary.
Right.
You don't pay a penny, but you get to come in and see the steps and see what DevSimplify can do, understand the process, get the numbers. And as Joel said, as you guys were walking out, mm-hmm. he said, at the very least, we're going to send you with some idea of where to go, whether you go get a second opinion or you decide you're going to try this on your own, at the very least, you're going to get a good idea of what direction to head.
Right. I mean, honestly, with these consultations, the discovery call and the complimentary 5 hours we're offering, our goal is to put something in your hands. It's not just to listen to you and give some feedback. It really is to take a step back, walk you through it, make sure you're clear on what it is and we're clear on what it is and guide you through that and put something in your hands, whether it's a product goal chart and a wireframe that you can go get a second opinion, you can go on your own. But it really is something we're so passionate about, people taking this first step. Mm-hmm. Because most people just jump in. I want this thing done. They go talk to a developer, they hire someone in another country and they just start rolling and spending money. And we're like, just sit down, get a consultation. Let's flush this out with you. And we're going to give you something to walk away with. And, you know, like I said, we're passionate about this. And our goal, like Joel was saying earlier, is that you walk away with something in your hands and you feel really good about the time you spent with us.
It all starts with a phone call, 801-701-3660. Claim that free complimentary 5 hours of service, yours at no cost. It's over $700 in value. 801-701-3660. Please call. But thank you so much. We appreciate it.
It's been so fun being back with you guys. Thanks so much.
All right. Dev Simplify coming up next. JJ and Alex straight ahead. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.